Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of three opinionated guys with mics and too much free time. Strong enough to stop a speeding movie rumor, more powerful than a bad comic book event, able to waste hours of time asking stupid questions to people who have better things to do. It's Dave, Ben, and John. It's Superhero Speak.
Hey everyone, you're listening to Superhero Speak, and I'm your host Dave.
And John.
And Matt.
That's right, boys and girls, have another willing participant in this experiment of finding a new ghost.
As opposed to the unwilling participants that we'll be doing shortly after we get the rights to their voice after, you know, the lawsuits. But
so this week, we have Matt with us, who, after I sent the post out about looking for a new co-host, he sent the most enthusiastic reply about wanting
and
to join the
largest
team.
Bribe.
Yes, well.
Deep pockets,
yes. And Matt, you're also a independent creator.
I am, yes.
Why don't you tell the boys and girls at home a little bit about, you know, what you've done in its Vroom Studios?
Vroomation. It's Vroomation. Kind of a play on, because when I first started creating, I wanted to do animation.
Okay.
So Vroomation kind of fit, I feel like, that name. But, you know, since then, I've kind of moved away from animation. It takes too long, and making comics is much faster.
Right.
So, yeah, so I started out ever since I was a little kid, after I got my first issue of Detective Comics. At 8 years old, I just was so enthused with this medium of superheroes and comic books. And so ever since I was younger, I would create stories about different heroes. My first superhero I created was somebody called Lightning Man. And obviously, for an 8-year-old, his powers were limited to just lightning.
Right.
And since then, I started a webcomic about superpowered Mormon missionaries. And I got a couple good hits and just kept going. I didn't get really serious about the printed comics until I started a screen printing company. And we used zines as kind of our marketing we would hand out at market nights.
Right.
And just say, hey, let's do your shirts. And, oh, by the way, here's a free comic with all our information on it. So, most recently, I actually published a couple comic books based off of those zines. And I'm still going at it.
Cool. Do you do art and write, or do you bring in artists?
Mostly I'm a one-man team. I've actually brought in writers more than I brought in illustrators. So
cool. And is it as rewarding as one would think?
Yes. Sorry.
You had to think about it.
I had to think about it. Yes. That's
a qualified yes.
It's worth it. I mean, I love working and meeting with people inside this wonderful world of comics, and especially independent creators. It's just a really tight-knit community, and I like being a part of one of them.
Yeah, no, it's fun. I mean, we're not creating a book yet.
dot, dot, dot.
But everyone that we've ever, you know, talked to from the sphere is, like you said, they're great people for the most part. It's a tight knit group, you know. You go to cons and they're all willing to help each other, you know. It's cool.
It's great. It's great for networking, but you all got to start somewhere, right?
Yes.
You can't just get it to the big two without deep pockets.
Well, that is very true.
Some of them don't even want to go to the big two.
Yeah,
I mean, a lot of them want to retain. We've done a lot of interviews, and most of them are pretty set in keeping creative control over their characters and their stories because of the stories they've heard that have come from the big two.
Yeah, right. I agree with that. But, you know, most of the smaller, like Dark Horse and Image and others, are kind of going towards creative control and, you know, letting the creators kind of own the properties. And that's a lot of great things have come out of that.
Oh, yeah. Definitely, especially with Image. And they have a program where the creator retains the rights and the control of the book, which works out sometimes, doesn't work out other times. But, I mean, it gave us Savage Dragon. It's going on 30 years now, I think.
Yeah.
You know, no signs of that. Oh, go ahead.
I'm so sorry. Well, just looking at their beginnings, I mean, Image was created because creators wanted more control
right.
than what they were getting. So McFarlane and Jim Lee and all them. So
yes. One day we'll get McFarlane on here.
Yeah.
one day. So cool. All right. Let's see what's – oh, so we did a poll today on the old Twitter sphere. Let me bring up the results here.
Most people still like Twitter. I guess that's basically what it says, right?
No, the poll was, if you paid attention to the Slack channel, you would have saw that I posted it.
Slack channel?
since we've been talking about retcon a lot lately on the show, what is your least favorite retcon moment in the comics? And of course, we can only give four choices. I could have gone on forever with this list. But the four choices were One More Day, New 52, Superboy Prime Punches Reality, and the Osborne Gwen Stacy hookup. So
he should have been all of them. just all of them. Not all of the above. All of them.
Yeah, that probably would have been a better choice. So before I reveal what the audience says, what do you guys think? What's one of your least favorite retcon moments in comic book? John?
I've been reading up a lot on this. I don't think Superboy Punching Reality actually is a retcon. I think they've actually kept that continuity behind all the retconning continuity through the last few retcons. It's kind of interesting how they did it. You'd have to listen to Comics Explained on YouTube to try and thread the needle on that one. But, I don't know. I think I'd go with, geez, Osborne Gwen Stacy. Sorry.
How about you, Matt?
I actually voted for One More Day.
Okay. Yes.
I think that was more devastating than anything, kind of breaking up Spider-Man, right? The history between him and Mary Jane, and I think I didn't like that.
I think the thing that had bugged me the most about One More Day is at the conclusion of the story, the marriage is erased, and of course, it doesn't affect anything else in the Marvel Universe because of magic. And they sit there and they go, oh, well, you know, we didn't want him to be married because it ages the character. But you didn't get the feel that he was any younger, but he was now, again, living with his aunt. And he's, he's still a high school teacher at this point, but now he's living with his aunt again and not on his own. So now he was this creepy 30-something loser instead of a successful married adult, you know, and I don't know how that appealed to kids better than the alternative. So, yeah.
God forbid you should portray a successful relationship in a comic book anywhere.
No.
You know,
I think it's because probably a lot of those creators don't have them, so they get jealous.
They're a little more relatable now.
Yes.
I can't write this. This works. They look happy. I don't know what that is.
So with our audience, the bottom one was Superboy Prime Punches Reality. That only got 14%. Mm. The next one, New 52, was 24%. Osborne and Gwen Stacy hookup was 29%. And the winner was One More Day at 33%. So
yeah, good eye.
So, thank you for everyone who participated in that. And we'll try to keep those going at least on Monday. So it gives us something to talk about on the podcast.
Or rant about.
Or rant about, yes. Yeah.
Well, that is kind of what we do. We do rant. I mean, I don't think it's kind of synonymous.
Yeah, so a superhero rant, not superhero speak. My bad.
Well, superhero speak, quote unquote, loudly, you know.
Yes, there you go.
With gusto.
So let's jump into some of this news that we have. So, they released the Inhumans poster and release date. So, it's official. It's getting close, guys. Are you guys excited for Inhumans at this point? Are you blah about it?
What do you think? They look weird.
They look weird. Okay.
They do.
I ditto. Ditto. Yes. Okay. Black Bolt's all in leather, dressed up like Neo from Matrix. And I don't know. I was looking forward to maybe a Vin Diesel Black Bolt, but I mean, this So it works too.
Yeah. And I also, I mean, I don't know what it is. And it drives me nuts. This is one of the things that drives me nuts with superhero movies in general. And now with the show, why is Black Bolt not wearing his mask? You know, not that it makes a huge difference one way or the other, but it's, you know, they create the characters, they create the mask, they have secret identities for a reason, a lot of the heroes. And then once they get to the big screen, there's this like, you know, we got to show them out of the mask as much as possible. And I know that's probably some kind of contractual thing with the actors to show their face X percentage of time on screen. But,
well, yeah. unless you have the personality of a Ryan Reynolds, it's hard to act through a mask.
Perhaps.
I mean, really, seriously, with Deadpool, you felt everything that he was portraying because Ryan Reynolds is, well, very expressive just in his voice alone.
And the CGI didn't hurt either.
Right.
Had that special CGI algorithm that made the mask face move properly or something like that. And there was a lawsuit about it or something, but it worked.
Right. Exactly. Like that was a great addition, was adding the CGI for the eyes to make the, you know, to give it expression. And, you know, they can do that now. I mean, they kind of stole the idea now, for Spider-Man for Homecoming by giving him the focusing lenses. They can use that now to add some expression while he's in the mask. And I don't see there isn't a reason to not do it, I think, at this point.
Well, it's the way they're all drawn anyway. I mean, when the artists draw them, and I guess you can speak to this more, they're drawn with their eyes being expressive, even if they're in masks. So why not have it in the movies?
Right.
Yeah. Or they could take the note from CW and just do cutouts. And, you know, you still wear the mask, but at least you see the eyes and the eyebrows.
Huh.
Yeah, that's true. I never thought about it that way, especially with, like, Flash. You see a good percentage of his face.
Yeah, it's almost useless to wear a mask. But then again...
I mean, Arrow gets away with it, you know, Stephen Amell, and just does the black guy liner behind the mask. But, you know, you can still get that expression out of it and still have a mask on.
Right.
One of the things I do like about their costumes, to be a little more positive, it's very Kirby-ish. I feel like they kind of paid a lot of homage, almost too much, to the comics. Particularly in Medusa, the hair parting in the middle, and
right.
I don't know, something stoic about her. I'm not sure, but I mean, it's not an awful design. I'm pretty sure that doesn't really reflect on how the show is going to be ultimately, because Marvel or, you know, ABC, they're putting a lot of money into it to get on IMAX, so they want it to look good, at least for the two episodes that it's in IMAX. You know, just to get people at least clicked. You know, it's still a business. They want their money back, and they're not going to really, at this point, after a couple seasons of S.H.I.E.L.D., not going to release something that's like season one of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
Yeah, I guess the rest of the costumes and people look okay, but Medusa just looks severe. I guess that's the word it comes up when I look at her. It's like severe. It's like, I don't know, because I don't remember... in the comics or in the animated series, is that she was ever like that, like you said, stoic and, you know, serious. She, I mean, not like that anyway. And it almost looks like her hair is plastic. I thought it would be like more animated. I mean, not animated, but, you know, usually she's not portrayed with it like, you know, 1,000 strokes with a comb every morning straight.
Right.
Yes. Well, usually it's just up and around, you know, like little snakes, you know, right. Usually.
Or at least curled up a bit, yeah. But mm-hmm. I don't know. That's the only thing. Just her character looks a little bit weird to me. I guess it throws off the rest a little bit. But if I ignore that, the rest of them look okay, even Black Bolt, with the exception of the mask. But, you know, like you said.
Well, one comparison I heard, I can't remember where I heard this, for Medusa was Morticia from the Addams Family.
No, that's not, they should never. No, they really shouldn't.
But, you know, once I heard that, I had a hard time unseeing it, especially in that one photo that was released with them all standing next to each other and she's got her hands folded and at waist height. Like,
yeah. And that's Sarinda Swan is the actress, and mm-hmm. she's also a model. So she was Aphrodite in Percy Jackson, The Olympians, and Lightning Thief. So okay, now we'll see how they do. I don't know what else to say except that's the only thing that seems to throw me. But then again, that's the picture, and who knows how long ago that was taken. So maybe they've changed the costumes a bit, which is not completely unheard of. And maybe the way they portray the characters on screen will give it a little bit more a little bit more humanistic value to the inhuman portrayal.
Well, I guess the real question is, the big complaint with I heard from people when Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. started was they wanted a superhero show, you know, and then they got Arrow and Flash and Supergirl all on CW, and they do well, but they still don't do, you know, they're still, what was it? I believe Flash is like even with Agents, but Agents is still, you know, has a slightly bigger audience. And the argument is it's ABC and they have, you know, more budget to bring audience in. I don't know how true that is.
Well, when you're backed by the mouse, you know.
Yeah. But so now they're giving us a superhero show, kinda, but they're giving us the Inhumans. You know, it's not a extremely well-known property. It's not, you know, it's not the X-Men. It's not a Spider-Man live-action TV show.
Yeah. Blah, 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 Guardians of the Galaxy, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it'll probably come out okay.
But that's the thing. Like, how do you guys think the audience is going to react to the Inhumans, you know? Like, and is there anything you think that might derail it before it actually gets a good start?
I think Agent Carter might derail it. You know, that was kind of a hit and miss show, and that was a last outing that ABC's trying to kick off their television universe. So I think maybe the lackluster performance of that show might derail it a little bit, at least for me.
Okay.
I didn't think it did that badly though. And I know a lot of people were upset that it was canceled. But again, this goes back to what you were saying before, where people want a superhero show, and what they got was, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, noir version, the noir years. So right. it depends on how it turns out. And I think we can all agree, as long as it's not Gotham, we should at least do okay.
What's do you think they're going to do? Yeah. Do you think they're going to do a movie now, or is there any news on that? If the movie that they had planned in 20 whatever is going to be canceled?
They did take it off the list, but they never officially said that the movie was canceled. So I don't know if they're waiting to see, like, does the show do well, and then they parlay that into a movie, or are they going to just do the show? Well, you know, I guess we'll have to wait and see at this point.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. They're going to have to tie it in a little with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and then how do they tie Quake in with the show? That's the kind of stuff I'm curious about. Do you think she leaves the S.H.I.E.L.D. team to go join the Inhumans on the moon?
That would be interesting, but I don't see it, because I think her character is kind of like intrinsic to the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in a like Django or a Jenga type of way. So if you pull her out, the whole thing's going to fall apart. I really cannot see her being able to leave that show. I mean, people have said that before about like main characters of sitcoms and stuff, and you know, it's worked out in some cases and other cases not. So it depends on the writers, but I really can't see them doing that.
So Chloe Bennett is the magic Jenga piece of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well, she is. She always has been. She's the one that makes you feel feels about the thing, you know?
Feels?
Yes.
You're not 16.
Yeah, well, you know, it stands.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess, you know, we'll have to wait and see. And they haven't even released. That's what drives me nuts with this stuff. And I understand it's only June still, but come on, release some kind of clip at this point, you know?
So. Well, unless they're reshooting again.
Well, speaking of reshoots.
Oh, no.
which we can actually, we can skip down to the next one.
Justice League? I thought we weren't going to talk about Justice League.
No.
We said reshoots. Yeah,
Ron Howard taking over the Han Solo movie.
Ah.
So there's another movie where they were near done principal photography. They kicked out the directors and then brought Ron Howard in to finish it. Thoughts? What do you guys think? I mean, this is like, it's the solo Han Solo movie. And, is it going to, you know, is this going to be a good thing? Is it going to be a bad thing? We haven't seen or anything other than photo, cast photos from the movie at this point.
Go ahead. I have to think about this one because I just.
I think it's a disaster.
Really?
Yeah.
I have nothing
against Ron Howard, okay. but he is an Academy Award winning, you know, Oscar winning movie maker. So he's did a Beautiful Mind and the Da Vinci Code, which doesn't seem Han Solo enough to me.
Right.
But though they were great movies, at least A Beautiful Mind was. The Da Vinci Code's debatable. But I don't know. I've heard, and I know he's really excited about it, and he's going to bring a lot of professionalism to whatever he's doing, and he's very respectful towards the firing of Lord and Miller. So I don't know. I think it's in okay hands. I mean, I don't think Kathleen Kennedy would have made such a very definitive decision unless she felt comfortable that it would be in good hands. So, I don't know. Apparently they didn't like the direction that Lord and Miller were going in for a while or something like that. And so I don't know if it's going to be a complete retcon of the whole movie or if it's, they're going to stick to the same schedule. So,
That's a question too, because we brought this up last week when we were talking about the Justice League and the Josh Whedon taking that over. There is a law surrounding how much of a principal movie of the movie that has to be directed by a director.
Yeah,
you know, to be considered for that person to be considered the director. So we don't know. You know, they said they were nearing the end of principal photography. They said they were still filming. We don't know how much, you know, do they want Ron Howard to be the director? So then he might have to reshoot a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, they did that with the Donner Superman. Yeah, they reshot a bunch of that stuff. And one could argue that the stuff that they did reshoot to make the new director, not Donner, the other guy, the director, they reshot and made it worse. So, but this is Ron Howard. So I don't know. I think he might actually save this thing.
Right. Well, I mean, and that's the thing, right? Cause we talked about that with Superman 2. They basically reshot some stuff just beat for beat, just so, who was it? The director's name, just so he could get the credit. You know, because it comes down to a question, like if the movie wins an award, let's say, who do they give it to? So if, well, 70% of it was done by Ron Howard. Well, then he gets the, you know, that's why there's laws around it. And the burning, Richard, oh, go ahead.
Sorry, it's Richard Lester.
Lester, okay.
Yeah.
And the burning question I have is Ron Howard's brother going to now be in the Han Solo movie?
it'll be a cameo by, what a twist. What's his name? It'll be Stanley or something.
No, well, I'm just saying because he puts his brother in every movie he makes. So I'd be kind of curious, you know, even if it's just in the background scene, I will be looking for him now.
So you'll be looking for the one scene where Chewie looks a little bit shorter than he should be?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I guess it is the movie where he could sneak him in as an alien in the background and no one would know. Yeah.
They did that in almost every Star Trek movie.
But I agree with you, Matt. Like, yes, he's an Academy Award winning director, but he's never done a movie like this before. You know, I mean, he's done Apollo 13, you know, the Da Vinci Code movies, which are all good movies on their own, but there's no space operas in there.
Right.
But he did, I found this quote. He did say, at one point, and this was in reference to a question that was asked by George Lucas to him. George said, do you know what you think your next film might be. And he said, yeah, I want to do a science fiction movie, but a really fun one like Flash Gordon with the effects of Stanley Kubrick's 2001. But that was apparently that was a long time ago. But
yes.
Still, I don't know. I mean, this is Ron Howard, and his movies, by and large, see, the one thing I think we've started to lose from some of these big budget movies is the actual ability to relate to some of the characters and feel things. And Ron Howard historically has been able to make that connection with the audiences, which makes his movies much better than they would normally be. He's like the anti-Michael Bay. I mean, really, seriously. Like, you know, Michael Bay's films, you go, there are explosions, and then you find that you finished off the popcorn. That's about the whole size of it, you know. But Ron Howard, you go to his movies, and you come out crying. So, you know, it might, this might actually work really, really well, I think. So, I'm hoping.
Say what you want. Transformers 4 was number one at the box office this weekend.
Yeah,
or 5, sorry.
Yeah, I dare you to go and ask anybody who walks out of those movies what the hell happened. They won't be able to say anything. They'll say, well, you know, there was explosions and the bad guy turned good and then turned bad again and then turned good. And,
yeah, giant robots fought
each
other.
There was a hot girl and that was it.
The giant robots fought each other. That's it. Yeah. That's all you need.
Yeah. And for reference, I direct your attention to the review by the Nostalgia Critic a couple of weeks ago before the movie came out.
Yes. I think he even said in that it's going to make money.
Yeah.
But he won't go see it.
Yeah. Now I can see how it might be. I don't know. He hasn't done movies like that before, but again, he might have what we've been missing from a lot of these previous movies. And that's not to say that it has completely disappeared. I mean, again, Guardians of the Galaxy made you feel for the characters, and so have, you know, by and large, even the Avengers movies have still made you be able to care, even though you couldn't, like, name all the characters, even if you were able to pause it. So, I'm hopeful.
All right.
Well, it was like what you said earlier, that he's really good at telling character stories, right? And
yeah.
Maybe that's the perfect course correction we might need from Han Solo versus what, you know, they could have had before, maybe a goofy comedy, but now tone it down just a little bit. Like you said, the anti-Michael Bay stuff, and you might actually get a respectable movie out of it.
Yeah. Now, if Han doesn't shop first, then we're going to storm his house. But beyond that, you know, but as long as that's okay, I think, you know, we got a good shot here.
Possibly. We'll see. It's a dangerous game to play.
It's all he has to remember. Ron, if you're listening, it's all you have to remember. Han shot first. That's it. You get that right, you got smooth sailing, man.
And speaking of movies that are possibly disasters.
Justice League?
No, the Venom movie. The movie that will not die. So there was a... what was it? Some more information has been revealed about the movie, and Kevin Feige has made some comments on said movie as well. But the most important thing that came out recently is the Venom villain, the Carnage.
Well, I mean, there's a choice on that.
I still don't understand that you have a Venom movie without Spider-Man, and I don't understand how you have Carnage without including Spider-Man and Venom's origin.
There's plenty of Venom canon now, you know, with him on his own. But I think it's kind of jarring to go directly from the Slasher movie Venom appeared in, which is now no longer movie universe canon, to this. Or maybe it is. I mean, is this like an offshoot of the last three?
No.
first three movies? It's kind of... If this were a second movie, yeah, easy to understand. I guess not having Spider-Man there to show how Venom got to be the way he is a little bit interesting. But
yeah, Topher Grace isn't showing up. What?
That's my bullshit alone. So, go on. Matt, what do you think?
I'm just disappointed that Topher Grace isn't going to be present in his role.
Oh.
Nah. I'm not disappointed. I kind of expected that Venom wouldn't be part of the overall MCU. I don't know. I'm just afraid this might turn into a Suicide Squad situation where they're marketed as a villain fighting a bigger villain ends up falling to pieces and being a bad, terrible movie. So I don't mind that Venom's on his own. I just kind of wish that Venom were the villain. And you can have Carnage in there or a little bit of the symbiote, whatever. But I kind of wanted like a really deep, introspective Tom Hardy, you know, Venom movie. And I'm looking forward to Carnage, but I feel like if you like you were talking about earlier, Dave, it being a second movie, it might have been better at that point, right. You know, maybe having a Spider-Man and Venom movie. But I think what they might do is what they've been doing, what Scott Snyder did for Batman v Superman, where it's just kind of a very brief, you know, Bruce Wayne's parents got shot. He went to the funeral. Just in the opening credits, you can have, you know, not even Tom Holland, maybe just some dude dressed like Spider-Man.
Right.
Going through his whole origin and then just have wherever it kicks off for Tom Hardy in the movie.
Okay. And just to add to about this movie, according to Sony, they indicate that it's outside the MCU, while the producer, Amy Pascal, kind of hints that it is kind of in the MCU. So I think there's some confusion over that now.
Well, that was, Feige kind of said, he is a Marvel character. So in that sense, he is part of the MCU and it is attached to, Homecoming. But again,
no, the Fantastic Four is not part of any universe. I'm sorry.
MCU. But, basically he said, as of right now, there's no plans to include Venom in any of the main Marvel MCU movies. But when he was asked, is that always going to be true? He said, well, never say never. So.
Yeah, but he also said, you could ask me, is Superman going to be there? And I go, I never say never.
I think here's my guess. If it's probably comes down to a couple different things, being do people want a Venom movie? Because again, maybe they're still gun shy after the fiasco that was Spider-Man 3. And if it does well, you know, there's probably also a legal issue that they have to work out with Sony. You know,
and which like, of course they do. Yeah.
Right. Like, okay, so what percentage? How does this work in? You know, I'm sure the deal for Spider-Man. There is probably one of the craziest things you'll ever read, you know, based on percentages and who's getting paid what and who's making money where. So, you know, now all of a sudden start adding in all these ancillary characters. Ugh, I don't want to be that lawyer.
I'm sure part of the clauses in that agreement have to do with, please don't kill all the Spider-Man titles and make him part of an adjunct of the Avengers so that we lose all of our sales.
Are you referring to the Fantastic Four?
No, because they don't exist and I don't think about them. Besides, we could get to the point where they do get Venom, you know, a cameo in one of the Avengers movies where Ant-Man's walking along and your splat looks down and, oh, what is this stuff on the bottom of my shoe? Oh, I'll just rub it off here.
Or even Thor and the battle planet, you know, the symbiote being a, you know, part of the audience or something like that.
Oh, that's not a bad idea.
Right next to E.T. Oh, man.
Well, no,
that could work.
A lot of people were guessing that movie that was the beginning of this year that came out, the Ryan Reynolds movie where he's in a space station and there's like a slimy alien thing.
Oh, yeah. Some were saying that was like, this looks really suspiciously familiar. And Ryan Reynolds is in there, and there's this.
It's a loose prequel for Venom.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what they'll show that thing crashing on Earth and the slime coming out and finding Tom Hardy.
I really like the hype around that. I think that was good marketing for that film, but a disappointment overall.
Well, you know, yeah, when you're a movie theater and you have a certain amount of Ryan Reynolds and you, like, cut that amount of Ryan Reynolds off. You just can't waste Ryan Reynolds like that. You just can't.
No.
And if you don't know what I mean, I'm not going to explain it more because spoilers.
You have to use all the Ryan Reynolds.
Yes.
That's why I only use Reynolds rap.
Oh.
Yes. There you go. And speaking of all these wonderful Marvel news and what Kevin Feige talking about ancillary Venom inclusion. The other thing he said to keep in mind when they were speaking with him is that Infinity War will be the end of the road for some of the Marvel characters.
Dun, dun, dun.
And, you know, because the actors' contracts are up and, you know, some of them don't want to continue on. He didn't say who. Just, you know, of course he's not going to reveal. And that Phase 4 kicks off with the Homecoming sequel.
This so, is good.
Yes. So, as we talked last week about their, you know, Scarlett Johansson said 32 characters in one scene, and we couldn't even figure out 32 characters to have in one scene. It sounds to me like this is like, they're going to throw a bunch of new characters at us right away too, so that when, let's say they kill off Tony Stark and Captain America, you don't feel as bad because you've got Spider-Man and Captain Marvel taking their.
Yeah, now, and, she said on Stephen Colbert that there were so many characters on set or so many people on set that you couldn't tell which were Marvel characters and which were crew.
Yeah, that sounds like, sorry, I had my microphone on mute for a second.
I was wondering if like, you know, maybe I should stop.
No,
you
no,
trying
no,
to tell
no.
me something there? It's like, yeah.
I was coughing.
Or was it, you know, oh, she was, was she on Stephen Colbert? Go watch that now.
Yeah, well, that's also what I was thinking. No, but yeah, that sounds great, but kind of sad at the same time. Any guesses for you guys on who isn't going to come back and who might actually die instead of just walking away from
Gwyneth Paltrow?
I think they killed her off screen already.
No, she's not, because she's going to show up in Homecoming.
Yeah, really?
And so is Jennifer Connelly.
I had not heard that.
Ha
ha! Dun dun dun!
Wow, I didn't. I never understood how this research thing worked, but I guess I just got it.
All right. Yeah, so seriously,
it's going to CBR, but yeah, it looks like and Jennifer Connelly, which should be interesting.
Yeah, that'd be cool to see her. I mean, I liked her character as Betty Ross in The Incredible Hulk, so it's good to have her back.
So all the girlfriends are in Homecoming.
No. What's her face from Thor? What? Damn it! Duh.
Natalie Portman.
Okay. Portman's not there. Now again, it comes down to God forbid that anybody should portray a healthy relationship.
Well, of course not. We don't want to age the characters.
Yeah,
they're all coming with Tony Stark. That's the issue.
Yes. Well, that's true too.
I think that, definitely Captain America, Chris Evans, is probably out.
Why?
He said before that he was getting kind of tired, or he wanted to move on and do something new. And I feel like, you know, the death of Captain America just left an impact in the original comics, mm-hmm. that it would be as equally as impactful in an Avengers movie, especially finding Thanos. I was thinking, you know, 32 superheroes walk into the battle, only 16 come out, you know, because Thanos just wipes them out with his gauntlet. So I don't know. I that's just my opinion. I think Chris Evans is going to move on. I mean, there's Falcon with Anthony Mackie, or even Bucky Barnes, you know, that could pick up the mantle. So it's not the character himself. He's already said that he's not going to be, as we understand, as Captain America anymore. He's more just Steve Rogers. So I just think killing him off just kind of makes, in my mind, just a logical story sense. You know, he's kind of played out.
that would suck, because his character has more depth than most, you know? Like, he's the one that still really cares about stuff and doesn't do stupid crap like Tony Stark does. You know?
That's what makes him Tony.
I know, that's what makes him Tony, but they need an offset for that, you know? I mean, that's interesting that you brought that. Two of the characters that have historically taken up the mantle of Captain America are in this movie and could do such. So, and I think historically, his shield is usually only able to be broken by reality warping, you know, evil guys or entities. And that's what Thanos is with the Infinity Gauntlet. So, you know, that would be one way. I really don't want to see Natasha Yar though. Do you know what I mean by that? Because I'm old and I'm referencing something from 1996.
I was going to say, I know Tasha Yar, and I know she dies in season one.
She died in season one, And this was Star Trek The Next Generation. She died in the first season. And she died, like, walks on set, goo monster points at her, she dies, boom, end of story. There was, like, no honorable sacrifice, no final battle, no, you know, no nothing. It was just, fuck, you know, the whole, it was basically a Monty Python death. It was, it was meaningless. It was completely and utterly meaningless. And I think at the time the director said it was to show that, you know, nobody's safe and this is a new Star Trek and, you know, we're gritty. And this was like 20 years before they invented grit with the new Batman movies. But it didn't really work because it kind of like, you know, they just killed her. It didn't make any impact. It was really senseless. And I don't want to see any of these characters do that too. Thanos just sit there and snap his fingers and a few of the characters disappear and he's like, they're dead.
Well, it also didn't work because she was the only main character that they killed off on Star Trek The Next Generation. But they did bring her back
That's because the reaction they got was like, if you do that again, you're not going to have any viewers.
But they brought her back in a timey-wimey way, so, you know.
Well, yeah.
You guys are beyond me.
Oh, no.
Tasha Yar was killed off in the first season so that they could make it seem more serious. And then the fan reaction was, what the hell was that? You know, she just like died in 1 second. No last words, no saving somebody's life or anything, just dead all of a sudden. And in order to placate them over the next 6 seasons, they had, you know, because it's Star Trek and there's always a singularity somewhere. They kind of retconned her character back in technically as an alternate version. And she was on a few episodes over the last few seasons.
Gotcha.
I have a funny feeling that he is too young to have watched Star Trek The Next Generation when it was originally on.
Maybe. I grew up in the prequels era, so.
Oh, my God. You mean the dead zone?
Does this disqualify me?
Only if you liked them. Enterprise. Enterprise was, yeah.
But I think he meant the Star Wars prequels.
Yeah, I meant Star Wars prequels.
Oh, same difference.
Yeah, it's same. Yes. Yeah, same.
Yusa no like the prequels. Oh. Nosa.
Nosa.
Oh, so,
I think.
No, but.
I think the deaths that do happen, if there are any, would hold much more gravitas in the Avengers movie. I think Thanos, I feel like they might tone him down a little bit in power scale because they don't have really, you know, they're just introducing Captain Marvel. They're introducing these other cosmic, like Adam Warlock's name and in it. And right. And he's a big part of the Infinity War. So they don't have these heavy hitter cosmic entities that are going to be combating Thanos. It's just really him versus a couple of guys in mechanical suits. So it's
right, exactly. They don't have the cosmic power to go up against him. So it's like it's got to be more like shoots beams out of the gauntlet at first, at least anyway.
Or maybe he doesn't have he never gets all the gems. Maybe the whole point of the whole Infinity War is that he never gets to the point where he has all the gems. You know, because one of the gems is still in the Vision, the mind gem. So
well. That was going to be my guess for one of the characters who's going to die is you're going to have Thanos rip the gem out of the Vision's head and kill him off because they've killed him like 1,000 times in the comics. So who cares if they kill him once in the movies?
You can just rebuild him.
Exactly. He's a robot.
Well, you could rebuild him, but not his mind technically because the Mind Stone is a part of it and there's no way you can replace that. But there is, Matt, I think you're wrong. There is one character that has not technically the power cosmic, but is an Omega level mutant technically that could stand up kind of to Thanos.
But she's not in the movie.
Scarlet Witch?
Oh. I thought you were going to say Squirrel Girl.
No. If she were in it, it'd be over in 3 seconds. It wouldn't be worth much of a movie. Although I would get to see her. Anyway, Scarlet Witch. I mean, she, I think, was it? And again, I'm not the Marvel guy here, but She's the reason why most of the mutants lost their powers at one point, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah. So
no more mutants. Yep.
She can warp reality on scale with Legion or, you know, one of those guys. And she's, you know, that she could probably do some damage. And that would be perfect because if she's in love with Vision and he kills Vision, that would be a perfect time for her to pull a Dark Phoenix.
It'll be interesting because going back along the lines of we'll probably have a somewhat scaled down Thanos. They haven't really shown her to be that powerful in the movies yet. So,
well, yeah, but it was even in the comic books, it took her a while to get there, and it wasn't like those something that she trained at. It just she got that powerful, I guess, you know, when it happened, when she got pissed or something. But she has the potential. I mean, the canon is there. And
right.
And by scaling down Thanos, do you mean he's going to have a chopper?
Oh, did you just go there?
Yes, he will. Get into the chopper.
If Deadpool can break the fourth wall, maybe he can break the paywall too and show up along with Thanos' chopper.
Oh, God. No.
Well, you know, your only other option is for Howard the Duck to save the day, and I don't think anybody wants to see that except me. But seriously, I don't think anybody really wants to see that.
Do you think this is just an idea I'm throwing out into the universe? Let me see what you guys think, and listeners, let me know what you think. Would it be interesting to see maybe Cap sacrifice himself to save Tony?
Well,
and then Tony has, you know, all this regret about the way things went down in Civil War.
Oh, as if he doesn't have enough regret as it is.
Of course.
I think I would rather see Tony give his life to Cap.
Okay.
I think he's so self-centered, especially after Civil War. I feel like he needs a more of a redeeming call to action. And I don't think Spider-Man Homecoming is going to be that redemption for him.
No. I mean, Spider-Man Homecoming is... I mean, at least from the previews, they're showing him more as really just kind of the father figure, not wanting the kid to get hurt, but at the same time being a jerk about it too. Yeah. The way
so he's still kind of a douche,
right?
Well, you know, the only reason he's hanging around is because of, you know, his Aunt May. Seriously, you think that suit is because he thinks the kid's got talent? No, it's because, hey, you know, hi, Marissa. Aunt May, how are you doing?
All right. So you want to date with Marissa Tomei. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, my God. She's on my list.
Is that list laminated?
You know, really? 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 Moving on.
All right. No, I think I do like your suggestion better, Matt. Yes. Tony gives his life for Cap.
So that means you can't kill Cap then.
What?
That means you can't kill Cap then.
Oh, you can still kill Cap.
Yeah. There's two Avenger movies that are coming up. If he doesn't die in the first one, he'll die in the second one.
Uh-oh. Well, and that's a question. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. All I can hear in the back of my head now is double kill.
but here's like, and then here's the thing, and it makes the whole thing difficult in the sense of when you like when they killed off Coulson. In the first Avengers movie, right? And it's supposed to be...
Air quotes on the kill.
Yes. Tahiti's a wonderful place. it's supposed to be the scene that has all this gravitas that weighs heavily on them, on the heroes, and brings them together as a team, right? And he was a character that we'd been following for a bunch of movies, and he was just this happy-go-lucky agent, blah, blah, blah. Now, if you kill a bunch of heroes that we've grown... to love over, you know, a decade of movies, does the deaths lose their gravitas, or is it like, you know, or is it just too much to take?
You're running several risks there. I mean, you can get inured to the amount of characters dying.
Right.
I mean, it's not like they want to pull an Enterprise with, you know, now every freaking movie they destroy the Enterprise. Well, you don't want them to kill off all these characters, you know, one after the other in these two movies, because A, you won't have much left. B, you might turn the, you run the risk of, if you kill too many off, you run the risk of alienating the audience. And you know, and having them lose interest in the next few movies. So,
I think you need to update your references. They don't want to pull a George R. R. Martin or a Game of Thrones.
No, the Star Trek reboot is that's recent enough. But yeah, I think George R. Martin. I think a Game of Thrones reference here is actually more apropos.
Yes. Is he writing Infinity War?
Yeah. No.
Okay.
No. Besides, if he did, you know, the big bad guy wouldn't be Thanos. It'd be Bucky because winter is coming.
Oh no.
Monster kill.
What do you think, Matt? You think killing off like Thor and Iron Man in one movie is it a good idea, or would it be like, ugh, you know, to the audience?
I think maybe killing one of them would be fine. But I think the other ones that would end, like, would probably just retire or be the mentor and let, you know, somebody else take over their role as, you know, maybe it'd be the Wasp. Well, no, Ant-Man I feel like is relatively new. I think he's staying. But I think killing them both would be harsh. So I think it's still going to be capped. I think Chris Evans is out.
Okay.
That would be a shame. I'd hate to see him go because, again, he's like one of the deeper characters. And
he's my favorite beyond, you know, he's my favorite MCU character, you know, above it, all of them. But
I mean,
go ahead. Sorry.
No, this is a question to you. Who would be the moral compass of the group after that?
Not Tony Stark.
No, never. That would point due north, right to the bourbon. Yeah. It's like, yeah. Not that I'd be upset with that, but, you know, that doesn't help with the characterizations.
Yeah. I think, because wasn't it Kevin Feige that said that Spider-Man's going to be basically the launch of Phase 4, you know, the sequel of Homecoming. So I think maybe to gear towards a newer, younger audience, maybe this is their retcon and, you know, Spider-Man would be that, you know, innocent moral compass, at least to kick off the remaining phases that they have.
You know, right. DC did that in Justice League Unlimited. It was Shazam, because Shazam is technically a kid, right?
Yeah.
And he was trying to join the league, and then the league did, you know, something not so upstandish, and he actually there was one scene with him actually giving a speech to the league members. The core members, you know, Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, everyone saying, I thought you guys were heroes, but now I don't want any part of this, and walked out.
Yep.
And, you know, that would work with Spider-Man. You're right. You know, cause, mm-hmm. you know, if he lost faith in them, that would be like a canary in the coal mine telling them, you know, maybe we're not doing the right thing, and they would have to follow him. And historically, Spider-Man has been more, yeah, been actually portrayed more and more as a leader of teams or a mentor until they retcon that too. But, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think then Spider-Man can probably take Captain's place, whereas Captain Marvel can probably play more the Tony Stark role. Not, you know, the playboy, you know, philanthropist, billionaire, but more the fact that, you know, Civil War II can happen and maybe they're the opposing factions.
Right. Yeah, that'll be, that's actually, I think what we've learned tonight, boys and girls, is Matt's got better ideas than we do.
Yeah. No, you guys are right. I just, it's just something I've been gestating all day, you know, just, you know, what's the future going to look like? Cause from what they said, Kevin Feige said is like this whole phase one, phase two, phase three thing, we're probably not even going to see that after, phase three, you know, the quote, in quote, air quotes, phase four might not even be considered a phase, maybe. They're going to try something completely different.
Yeah, I mean it's a big endeavor. I think it's a planning Olympics where you've got to be like, okay, we want to have these movies, and we have to have a thread that ties them together, that brings them together for a quote unquote Avengers movie to cap off this series of movies for the last 2 years. And you know, I mean it's ticked people off, you know. We didn't got upset and walked away because of having to show Thor take a bath.
Oh, gods. Do we have, you know, I'm trying to find it now. I can't remember if there was an actual list of Phase 4 movies beyond Homecoming 2. It's like, it's funny that I can't, I don't know. Yeah, so, because it'd be interesting to see what, I mean, there is a graphic that says, like, the next few movies are all named Howard the Duck 1 through 5. Which I'm all for, as long as it's punctuated by a Squirrel Girl saves the universe.
Yes, it is. I thought you knew that.
But okay, so like after Avengers 2, there's, you know, Captain Marvel's coming out before Avengers.
Yep.
So I believe that. That changed. There have been they've rejiggered this so many times by now. But
we've got we've got Thor, Ragnarok, Black Panther. Spider-Man Homecoming, Thor Ragnarok, Black Panther, Infinity War 1, Ant-Man Wasp, Marvel, Miss Marvel, or I'm not Miss Marvel, Captain Marvel, and then Infinity War 2, I think, right?
I don't know. It's kind of hard to find an updated graphic because there's so many of them out there now.
Okay. So, right. And again, though, nothing really planned beyond it. Except for a sequel to Spider-Man Homecoming, which, you know, they're being a little ambitious there, saying it's going to make enough money worthy of a sequel, right?
Oh, come on. There's no way that's not going to make enough money. They have the perfect actor to play him. He's in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. They're going to have Iron Man cameos and, like, cameos from apparently Gwyneth Paltrow and Conaway. How could they not? It would have to be Jar Jar Binks awful for this to be, you know, anything less than a weekend buster. It's got to be.
Super secret Michael Bay version.
No. Well, no, like you said, though, that would still make money.
No, that's true.
Unfortunately, but yes, that would still make money.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, who knows what the future holds at this point? They're only planned out through 2019. You know, it's getting close, guys.
Yeah,
run out of Marvel movies.
Hey, and by Phase 4, they might finally have a Black Widow action figure.
They do have a Black Widow action
figure. Not that you can find it.
Yes, you can.
I can find a million My Little Pony figurines of every character that's ever appeared before I can find a Black Widow one.
You just don't know where to look. Mm. Don't you think I have a bunch of Black Widow action figures that I sleep with?
Just give Black Widow her own movie, for crying out loud.
Nah, she's not a strong enough character.
She is so a strong enough character.
Nope. No.
I think so.
You be the deciding vote, Matt.
I think so.
Uh-huh.
Think about it.
That after points off.
Hey. With the characterization. No, Matt's right. The characterization that was portrayed with her and Banner and how she reacted to that. And it's Scarlett Johansson. I mean, okay, she's not just a body. She's a good actress and she's got a lot of heart and she's got range. If you had seen Lucy, and some of her other off stuff, ends and whatever, she can act. So I think they could make a really good movie. They just need a different director and a different actor. They need to bring in somebody from, who's written for James Bond or something.
Maybe. See, I never thought of her as a strong enough character in the comics, so.
Well, nobody thought Captain Marvel was, and now she's got her own movie.
That's true.
I mean, she has, technically, she has less characterization or canon to pull on than Captain Marvel does. So, you know, I think it's more than possible, especially if Captain Marvel does well. Maybe they will finally give her own movie.
Well, Wonder Woman did well.
Yeah, exactly. You know, if they go with that, and that would be a good take on Black Widow and how she deals with things, because the whole thing with Wonder Woman was that she wasn't fighting for a friend or, you know, something that just happened. She was fighting just to do the right thing. She walked into no man's land to save people, not because she had to because of somebody being held hostage or anything like that. She was doing it because it was the right thing to do, and she is a freaking hero. And I think the portrayal of Black Widow is at that point.
I don't know.
Is my bullshit alarm going off again? I don't know. It's like
but then you have to bring in her checkered past, and then people stop looking at her as a hero.
Okay, fine. Have her just dating the guy that Thor is rooming with while he's in you know,
okay,
in Ragnarok. Okay.
Didn't they do that on Saturday Night Live? Black Widow movie where
that was way different. Yeah.
Well, I think you guys talk about it last week with JD about maybe a Hawkeye and Black Widow movie, kind of going over their past, what, you know, who they were before they were Avengers.
Yeah, you're right, and it's been hinted at, especially when she slapped him around to try and knock the Loki out of him. So you know, that could work definitely.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, and they've always been a pair in the comics. I was actually kind of shocked when they went down the road of making him married and, you know, having a secret family.
You know, he's going to die now, right?
Yes.
He's in a successful relationship. No, that can't be. I can't allow that to continue.
We're going against an alien god, and I have a bow and arrow. Nothing about this makes sense. Oh. So, yeah, it's a... It'll be interesting. I don't know. Again, we'll see. I do have high hopes for the Captain Marvel movie. I hope that does well. Yeah, I don't know why it's taken Marvel so long to at least do Captain Marvel, right? I mean, it's
they have a lot deeper set of female characters to draw from, and yet DC still beat them to the punch.
Right, exactly. You know, that's I don't know. You know.
Well, I mean, they have Wonder Woman, and
yeah, exactly. That's the whole thing. When you think of the top tier superheroes, the first female one that always comes to mind is Wonder. You know,
well, yeah, name the ones from Marvel. Because okay, fine, Wonder Woman from DC. Who else they got?
Black Canary.
Right, but you got not a whole lot besides them.
And then Fishnet Stocking Girl. What was her name? The magician.
Zatanna.
Yep. So there you go. There's three right at the top of my head.
Right.
Uh-huh. We got Black Widow, Captain Marvel.
Supergirl.
Oh, yeah. Wait, Supergirl. Who, you know.
Black Widow, Captain Marvel, She-Hulk, Squirrel, and... and then Emma Frost and Dark Phoenix and I mean, how many others can we name? There's like,
how many are owned by Marvel right now?
That's their own damn fault. Because
you can name a bunch of mutants that were female, but that's all up to Fox.
Wasp,
Elektra.
Elektra, well, oh boy.
I think maybe that's one of the reasons why they stopped doing female superheroes on the Marvel side.
Again, their own damn fault.
No, I blame Ben Affleck for that.
Yes. You're never going to blame Jennifer Gardner.
No, of course. Who would blame her?
Oh, did we say Catwoman on DC, right?
Oh, God.
She'd be on the Suicide Squad before anything else. But actually, she's too intelligent to be on the Suicide Squad. She'd take one look at them and go,
I will say this because everyone, you know, like before Wonder Woman came out, making the big deal about first female superhero movies. Like, wait a minute. Hold on. Let's back up. A decade and a half ago, we had Catwoman.
Yes, like they said, the first female superhero.
Back up a couple more decades, we had Supergirl, you know.
Oh my God, why did you even bring that one up?
But it was done. It's not like it wasn't done before, you know. Yeah,
but it was done to us, not for us, really.
No. You gotta give credit where credit's due.
Who gets credit for that? Who wants credit for that? Really?
I like the original Supergirl movie. Yes.
That movie. Do you know what we're talking about, Matt? Have you ever seen that one?
I know what you're talking about, and I have avoided that movie.
Yeah, it's probably best. Go ahead.
The movie to avoid is Catwoman. Ugh, that was bad. But what were you going to say?
Actually, I think Catwoman was better than
you stop doing drugs, John. It's a terrible, terrible
not
thing.
Not doing drugs. I'm telling you, it's the Blackberry Brandy. But no, seriously, I think Catwoman was better. That's kind of saying slime is better than mud, but still.
All right. You know, this conversation is devolving quickly.
To our favorite topic, you know, just bitching, really. Is there anything else, any other main topics we wanted to talk about or capture here? Do we want to talk about Godzilla King of the Monsters or anything else? Or, you know, Squirrel Girl or...
No, we'll talk about Squirrel Girl next week. How's that?
Yeah, good. Okay.
So, Matt, just so people who might be interested, where can they find you online?
They can find me on Twitter at the Matt Vroom.
Matt Vroom.
Yeah, the Matt Vroom, because somebody else stole Matt Vroom. So I was going to do the real Matt Vroom, but then Trump became president. I decided against that.
Oh, God, yes. Good choice.
Thanks. And then my website, vroomnation.com.
Cool. Yes, those links will be in the description of the episode. But like we said with JD, and I understand you're waiting to hear someone to compare and contrast to. But come on, listeners, you know, let us know what you think. Tweet at us. Send me a message on Facebook or through through the website. It's dave@superheroespeak.com or john@superheroespeak.com.
Why? I've got no email?
Though there's no guarantee he's going to read it.
Well, you know, I have to make my way through the mail member enhancement emails and, you know.
You get a lot of those, don't you?
God, it's like spam filter doesn't exist.
So on that image, boys and girls, as always, don't let your cape get caught in the door. Have a good week.